Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
That's the show you showed up on, Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. That's where you went. We didn't do that. I mean, he went on that platform. That's the platform you want. Like, yeah. There's a lot of other platforms.
Absolutely.
I mean, 10 to 12, it's a crap time slot. It honestly is. Sorry, Louie and everybody. But, like, that's where you show up.
10 to 12 is a good slot if you get the right people. And we happen to think we got the right people.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680, 105.7. James Strebel, Mark Blankenbaker, and Tanner Brutomesso in the studio today. So I want to say thanks to these guys for helping me produce a fun show today. As always, the 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by our good friends at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. That's right, 27 area locations, walk-in, drive-through, delivery. They do it all. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, that's Louisville's go-to liquor store. Tomorrow, Wednesday, as every Wednesday, buy three, get one free cigars. Head out there and get your weekend supply. And while you're in there, get the drinks you'll need for the weekend as well. They have it all. Wine, beer, domestic, imported, craft. They have high-end, top-shelf bourbons. Or if you want just something to sip on or mix, they've got that too. Tequila, all that. Cox'sLouisville.com, 437-9680. UPS Jobs text line. Texter says, has Blank inspected Diener's colon yet? As you all talked about tequila and colons yesterday, oh. I found to be great. That was a great conversation. It was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't realize that tequila was such a health product. I had no idea, but apparently it is.
I can't do tequila. That's like the really? One alcohol that I can have no part of because it turns me into a monster.
Dude, it mellows me out.
Like, does it really? It's the opposite for me.
Like, mellows me out. So tequila mellows me out. Bourbon kind of makes me if I get drunk on bourbon, like I really enjoy like a bourbon, but if I get drunk on it, it can make me kind of paranoid, which
really?
I'm not really a paranoid person ever. So it's a weird kind of a out of body type deal if I get intoxicated on bourbon. But beer makes me chill, makes me want to go to sleep. Wine also makes me chill.
Yeah, bourbon makes me feisty. Like, I want to, like, if I'm drinking bourbon, like, I want to go out and have fun. I don't get angry or want to fight people. I know bourbon does that to some, but it just makes me, like, it picks up my energy level. It doesn't last long. It's only about an hour or so, and then I'm conked out. But, yeah, if I'm drinking bourbon, I'm like, let's do something. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Let's go. But, yeah, it's not the best idea for me. And then tonight, don't forget ESPN Louisville Plus, 9 p.m. What are the games that broke you? UK fans, UofL fans can call into that and talk about those as well. All right, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. It's been kicking butt today. Good job, texters. Now, as I alluded to before the show started, Mark, Chris Mack did, because he used to do stuff with Field of 68. He worked for him. He would do like Field of 68 After Dark and live shows on Twitter and everything. So he did a podcast with Jeff Goodman, who you and I are on the same page with Goodman, by the way.
I mean, you can't trust that guy.
You cannot trust that dude. He will turn on you. If you have a coach that he likes, that you know, butters him up or buys him beers at Hooters or goes and gets him a cup of coffee, he will fight tooth and nail for that coach. But if he doesn't like your coach, he will trash your entire program. Yes. So right now, Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope are two coaches that Goodman actually likes, so he's pumping both of those guys right now. But as soon as he gets somebody in that he doesn't like, he will turn on you fast. But Chris Beck did an interview with Jeff Goodman, and we can't play it because of, you know, our computer sound stuff being down, which is unfortunate. But if you want to take a look at it, you can. It's about the 9-minute mark, and he talks about, you know, leaving Louisville, and he doesn't trash Louisville. I thought he was very political.
Well, he has a non-disparagement clause against with the university for as long as he's getting buyout money. So
that guy, he did dance around it. He did say something to the effect of, you know, things were, he's like, you know, we won at Louisville, and that final season, weird things happened. Things were kind of stacked against him.
Yeah, the president totally submarined him and Vince Tyree. How about that?
Well, okay.
That definitely happened.
Okay, so I agree with you to a point. To a point. But I don't think Chris Mack is a very smart guy. I'm just going to say that. He put himself in that position with the way he handled the Dino Gaudio thing. That didn't have to happen. That wasn't Neely Bindaputi that did that. That was a Chris Mack decision to tape that conversation. Now, it was not his fault that Gaudio extorted him.
It was smart to tape it. It was terrible to edit it.
Yeah, when the FBI came knocking and said, we want the sound, and then Chris Mack was doing something. I mean, I know he got exonerated by the NCAA, but they're exonerating everybody right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do whatever you want. NCAA, whatever.
There are no rules.
There are no rules anymore. But, you know, they were doing some shady stuff behind the scenes, and that was in the conversation with Gaudio. Obviously, that's what he was going to extort him for. And, you know, he lied to the FBI.
Pretty light stuff. Pretty light.
It was light stuff. No, yeah, it wasn't like they were, like, you know, handing out McDonald's bags full of cash the way Jeremy Pruitt was doing in Tennessee. They weren't doing anything that bad. It was like, what were they doing? They were had like some
highlight videos. Yes. And they had like a grad assistant practicing with the team
during COVID.
During COVID or whatever, you know. And so there was limits on who could do what and stuff like that. So they violated those things. But the main thing was the recruiting videos that they were producing, which everybody makes.
Everybody makes them, and it was and no one would have known unless that would have happened. And you know, if that would have never happened, no one would have heard about it. So to an extent, like, I'm sorry, but Mack fumbled. I mean, he absolutely fumbled the ball. And you know, like it or not, when he came back, you know, he had the Baja Bullies.
The
Baja Bullies. He came back with them, and they stunk. I mean, they just stunk. And with Chris Mack, that was – Pegues did better with that team than Mack did. Yeah, I don't think there's – so, zero part of me feels sorry for Chris Mack. I'm saying there's a reason. He even says in the interview, he's like, well, I might not be at Kentucky or Duke, but I like College of Charleston. It's like, no, there's a reason why you went from St. Xavier Coach of the Year – or not St. Xavier, sorry. Xavier, Coach of the Year, one seed, get the big chair at Louisville, and now you're at College of Charleston. That doesn't happen by accident. So I'm not here shedding tears for Chris Mack. And there are some Louisville fans out there that still take up for Mack. And if that's what you want to do, fine. Have at it. But the Chris Mack thing would have fizzled one way or the other. The job was too big for him. He didn't like dealing with the media. He didn't like doing fundraiser events. I have personal stories from firsthand accounts of people that interacted with him in some of those events where he's very dismissive and didn't want to talk and kind of went and hid. So I think it would have fizzled out anyway. This sped the process up. And look, Neely Bindaputi was a turncoat for sure. She did submarine Tyree. I think it had more to do with submarine Tyree than Mack. Mack dug his own grave. Let's be real here.
Mm-hmm. No, so Chris Mack was not a personality fit for this school.
0%. Yes.
Pat Kelsey is.
Yes.
Now, if he could coach even on the level of what we had under Chris Mack without the bad season, you know, then a lot of fans will be like, whoa, what's this guy? Because he's incredible. Like, the personality is absolutely outrageous. Some people might say it's corny, but, like, when it's your coach.
I say it's corny. That's, you know.
Well Mark Pope's corny. But, like, when it's your coach.
He's on a spacesuit.
It's when it's your coach, you're, like, you're in for it.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So I'm in for it for him. But, like, the thing about Chris Mack is that he never was a fit, ever. I had a dinner after like the softball thing, it was more drinks. Diener, me, Chris Mack, Vince Tyree. We're all sitting there at the thing. And
let's go.
That we're like all kind of chilling out, having a beer with Chris Mack and Vinny. And then we're kind of hanging out. And there were some things that were kind of being brought up at that point in time. We didn't know about the extortion.
Right.
You know, like it was about to kind of come out. You know what I mean? And so there were some things about basketball, like especially at Louisville, that I was like, man, how does he not know that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How do you not know that? And it really kind of ticked me off, like, originally. Like, the original sin for me, you know, he closed the locker room, first of all. That was bad. Like, because the tradition at Louisville was for 40, 50, even going back to Hickman, that the locker room was open for media to interview. You know, so
right.
that's the original sin. But then, to cap it all off, we're sitting there in Greensboro. The COVID has wrecked the sports landscape. All the conference tournaments are canceling. We don't know if the NCAA tournament at that point is going to happen.
Right.
We just know the ACC tournament and all the other league tournaments have been shut down for this mysterious virus that we've just been learning about. And so there's all the media in this ballroom. Well, not the ballroom, lobby of this hotel where Louisville and some other teams, Florida State was staying there too, and there's all this media. We all have our cameras. We're all set up. Chris Mack is sitting right there. Vince Tyree goes and does his chat. We're all thinking, well, here comes the head coach to talk about it.
Yeah.
Does not talk. Meanwhile, I'm watching all these people, all these coaches. There's Boeheim and there's Kay, there's Calipari, you know, there's Izzo,
yeah,
Bill Self. They're all going on SportsCenter, and you know, and I'm like, all right, when's the Louisville basketball coach going to go on TV? Nope, never did.
Crickets.
And so it bothered me to no end. And then the cherry on top was when we get back home, Fred Cowgill, who was not in Greensboro, gets a sit down with Chris.
I remember this now. Yeah, I remember.
Like,
this ticked
dude,
you off. I remember the shows. Yeah.
I'm like, Fred Cowgill didn't bother to go to Greensboro and then to not get a quote from you.
Right.
And then all this other assembled media, which is probably the biggest group of traveling media since COVID. Since that time, there hasn't been another group of, maybe at the ACC championship game. Probably at the ACC championship game. But like, that's the last time he got that much media at one event outside of Louisville. And he didn't talk, and he gave it to Freddie Cowgill. Good for Fred.
Yeah, good for Fred, but
good for Fred. No shade on Fred, but
yeah.
That's a slap in the face to the people who did go.
Sure.
And there's a lot of me that just from interacting in and around Mac and his staff, like, that he wished he never left Xavier. And fine, you know, like, this isn't Xavier. This is Louisville.
Yeah, you have pressure. You have expectations. You have standards. And I think, you know, a place like College of Charleston is a perfect spot for him. I think he'll do well there. I don't think he'll go down there and fumble. I mean, I expect him to make, you know, an NCAA tournament here and there and to, you know, kind of pick up where Kelsey left off with that program. But I'm with you, man. You've got to watch out for those guys. We had the same issue with Billy Gillespie when he was at Kentucky. He just could not handle the attention and the pressure and the fact that people want to hear from you about everything. About everything. It doesn't matter if it's basketball, if it's, you know, the weather, if it's about an event going on in the town. Like, people want to hear from the Louisville coach. They want to hear from the Kentucky basketball coach. They want to hear from you. And he could not handle that. And the way he dealt with it was you know, unfortunately, was bar hopping and co-ed shopping, and that's what
co-ed shopping.
Yeah, he's bar hopping and co-ed shopping. That's what Billy Gillespie did to ease the pressure. And it sounds like Chris Mack just shut down. Like, he just didn't want to talk. He didn't want to be a part of it. He didn't want his face out there all the time. And you know, these jobs aren't for everybody. And so far, if you want to, you know, liken Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey in this regard, they both embraced the spotlight. They both embraced the expectations that have been set forth, you know, before they got there. I mean, we're talking about Denny Crum. We're talking about Rick Pitino, John Calipari, Joe B. Hall, you know, all the great coaches that have coached in this area. they're not shying away from the challenge, whereas Chris Mack and Billy Gillespie absolutely shied away from the challenge and the expectations of being a head coach at a place like this. It's just, you've got to be careful. But I think both Pope and Kelsey thus far have ingratiated themselves within the fan base and shown the enthusiasm that it takes to be the coach at a place like Kentucky or Louisville.
Yeah, and you know, Pope, you all know Pope. You know,
yeah.
You know who he is. He was a player there. You know, it's easier, I think, for you guys. You saw us BYU in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you know.
Right, exactly. And Jimmer Fredette wasn't on the team, so.
Yeah, it was BYU. And, you know, and I think even when we were at doing the search with Diener, you know, on the Diener show, talking about it, and I was like, man, you know, BYU and Mark Pope, they look really good out there. And Diener's like, we're not doing another Kentucky guy. You know, we're not doing that. You know?
Right, because we just had Kenny Payne. Like, we just had the Kenny Payne experience. And you're like, no, shut it down, shut it down.
So really,
right now.
Never entertaining. But, yeah, is it – and you know what, like, for us, is it corny? Sure. Is it, for you guys, is Pat Kelsey corny? Sure. But, like, I do think that both, like, that our program is gonna go the right way. I'm excited about it, man. Like, I would totally go to the Bahamas, you know, in the fall if I can get this thing worked out. Like, I'd spend the money to go, you know, because I think we're gonna be pretty good. Like, I think we're gonna be pretty good. And I love the Avengers Endgame, you know, stuff that we got going on. I know some people didn't like it. I liked it. This is the stuff I like. This is stuff we used to work on when we were at the CrunchZone.com with Crumbs Revenge and Mike Lindsay. This is the stuff that we used to do before the ACC started taking down our stuff every 5 seconds.
Oh, which is a pain in the butt. It's like, come on, guys. Like, they're
a contract with the ACC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they had one and they still took it down. Like, and I'm like, why did you take it down? Well, it's an automated software, and I was like, this is going to happen every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And then it's like, well, then 2 weeks later, you finally get all the restrictions removed, and you're like, well, the moment is gone. Like, you know, we're making these highlight videos for the moment, not for, like, down the road.
Yeah, we're doing it because this happened, and it's really, really cool. So, yeah, we're gonna throw the video up there. And, you know, obviously, Crumb's Revenge, that was his forte, was making those videos. I remember, you know, they were all over the place when he was doing that. And it was really cool. Now, what's really hard, though, Mark, to, you know, it's hard to gauge or guess how good these teams are going to be, because the top 25s and the analytics sites or what and all that stuff, they're all over the place for both teams. Like, for instance, yesterday ESPN put out their way too early top 25, and that was the first one I'd seen Kentucky in. They were ranked number 23. And then Bart Torvik's, you know, he has his analysis out. He has Louisville at 88 and Kentucky 29. And all you can really do is go by what the transfers did at the previous stop. I mean, that's all we know. And these transfers are leaving for a reason. Like, they're leaving because the team sucked or the coach sucked or whatever it was. And you know, you don't know if they're going to work out in your system. You don't know how good they really are. They could have been an okay player at, I don't know, Oklahoma. Ortega Owe was at Oklahoma, and he was you know, 9 points a game, defensive guy. He comes to Kentucky, he might be better, he might be worse. I don't know, but it's just. We're not going to be able to, and that's why the smack talk in this is just centered around the coaches, because we don't really think about the players. So we got to take shots at Mark Pope. We got to take shots at Pat Kelsey, because I don't know a damn thing about Kirk Harissa, other than he likes to talk and he talks crap about Luka Doncic. Or I don't know anything about Chucky Hepburn, except he played for Greg Gard, the most boring coach in America. Like, that's all we know. So we got to go at the coaches instead of the players and the teams, because I don't know if Kentucky team is superior. I'm going to believe that because I'm a Kentucky fan, but do I know definitively? No, I don't know. So I've got to direct my smack talk at Pat Kelsey. I have nowhere else to go.
you got nothing else to do over there. No, I think we're going to, like, everybody's in this holding pattern in terms of the rivalry for basketball. Now, Kentucky's won a million in a row or whatever, and they, you know, they filled up the Yum Center last year. Ha, ha, ha. You got us with Kenny Payne. You're right?
Yeah.
But like moving forward, you know, you can talk about smack about the past.
Sure.
But can you really talk smack about the future if you're Louisville or Kentucky right now?
Right. No, that's my entire point, because it's such an unknown. They're both in such a weird spot where you want to be excited. You want to buy in because of their energy. You want to buy in because they're bringing nostalgia back. I mean, Mark Pope got the bus with the 96 trophy Pat Kelsey had, you know, Luke Hancock and Peyton Siva in the transfer portal video.
Yeah.
You know, Montrezl Harrell's been on campus for you guys. They just had Shagari Alin back. he was at a practice. Mark Pope took a picture of Shagari Alin. I didn't know if he was still with us. Be fair, like, cause you
killed off Shagari Alin.
I did. I think Andy questioned it a few times because we bring him up randomly, and Andy would just look at me. He goes, "Is he still with us?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think he's still alive." then we look it up and like, okay, he's doing fine. It's like I don't remember Shagari Alin ever visiting with John Calipari. But Calipari, what he was really good about bringing like players back and like having Dan Issel talk to the team, and before, God rest his soul, Mike Pratt passed, he would talk to the team and, you know, Goose Givens and guys like that. I know that. Yeah, that was something that Louisville fans kind of side-eyed Rick Pitino about. It's like he kind of shut all that down and kind of froze out, you know, Denny Crum and the 80s guys.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it sucked. You know, as a person who really loved Denny and his family and stuff like that, was the one part of the Pitino era that, and Jurich era, that really sucked. You know, that the Denny Crum stuff. Now, Tom... you know, the Jurich people were like, we treated Denny great, blah, 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 you know, but no, it was not a comfortable situation if you were in the Denny Crum camp trying to be in the current Louisville Cardinal, you know, in that era.
Yeah,
you know,
and that time. Susan Sweeney Crum was very vocal about that. I mean, she did not shy away from that at all.
Oh, I'm very familiar. You know, I go to the Susan Sweeney Crum Oaks brunch. You know,
like, oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what I'm talking about.
I get the invite when it happens, and I hope it comes back. You know, but.
What's that brunch like? I'm sure there's a lot of movers and shakers there, and you know, some big time big wigs in the city.
It's great. There's a bartender, and they have old derby glasses that are made with mint. They have mint juleps, but almost everybody goes mimosa or Bloody Mary, you know. And so there's a breakfast, and it's all catered out, and you know, it's really nice. And then you eat, and then everybody goes to the track. You know?
Now, who's all in your phone? Now, do you have the mayor's phone number in your phone? Is that
Mayor Greenberg? No.
Oh, you do? Okay, so I misunderstood that. So you do not have Mayor Greenberg on your speed dial?
No. So I. No, where it's the governor.
The governor. So you have Andy Beshear.
I don't. Well, the people that would get me in contact would be Andy Beshear.
Okay,
but not Andy Beshear directly. Which, I mean, is he going to be our VP? Our VP candidate?
I don't know. He might be the big candidate here in 2028.
No, the big candidate in 2028. No, I think if something happens with Biden at the convention. Don't be shocked if Andy Beshear is the VP candidate on whoever actually does get the nomination.
I'm with you. Like he's
don't be shocked.
He's all of a sudden making these trips out nationally, and talking on, you know, big news platforms, and they're like, "Oh, Governor Beshear's here," and he's become kind of a darling here within the last. I mean, ever since that disastrous debate, Beshear has really kind of become a big player in all this.
I'm here for it because this is the only way I get to go to like a state dinner in the White House.
This is like the only way. That's right. Does Diener get invited? Do you think?
I don't know if Diener gets invited.
I don't know. He's buddy with him now.
So for the Oaks, we got invited to the governor's suite. Two separate invitations. First, it was the guy in charge of all the gaming. You know, and I'm totally blanking on his name. The gaming commissioner, the horse racing commissioner.
Yeah,
Rabinowitz. Rabinowitz.
Rabinowitz. Yeah, that's it.
He invited Diener up to the governor's suite, which is a great
invite.
Is a great invite. But I got invited by the lieutenant governor's press secretary.
About that?
So you getting a commissioner, right? Like, that's a good invite. That's a good one. But I'm getting the press secretary, who I work with on the Beshear campaign to kind of bring in the only political advertising in the history of ESPN Louisville, as a non-political person.
You know? Like, wow.
I don't care about politics.
I know you don't. You stay far away from politics.
But I will take as much money into the building as possible in terms of, you know.
Sure.
And so the governor's campaign, you know, they champion sports betting. We advertise that. And so now we're getting – so and then for the PGA, 2 weeks later, I got the same call to go to the PGA Chalet.
Wow!
And Diener didn't get that call. Now, they extended Diener the invite through me, but I don't know where Rabinowitz was on that one.
Yeah, where are you at, Rabinowitz? Come on. Your name's difficult enough to say. Throw us a bone here. Texter, don't bring up Andy. This show used to be so good. Oh, come on. Oh, like, we're just kidding around. Gee whiz. Don't get mad.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so – let me go change my diaper. They're talking about politics on the sports radio.
We're not endorsing anybody.
Mama, they're talking about politics. Mama, they're doing it. Mama. Take the thumb out of your mouth. Put your headphones back on.
Yeah, exactly. We're not endorsing anybody. Blake Merger said, I'm not political at all.
Not political at all.
Yeah.
I just want daylight savings time. That's it.
Yeah. That's the platform.
That's the only thing that's going to sway. Okay, less. If you're going to take less taxes, okay, sure. I like that. I like that thing. You know, but daylight savings time. Can I have that?
Texter, what is this liberal radio? It's so funny because I think they're kidding, by the way. But what's funny is like I get accused of being MAGA all the time, and now it's like, don't talk about Andy Beshear, you lib, you stinking lib.
Listen, I put on my tuxedo and go to a state dinner at the White House, and you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Like, yeah, really there you go.
Care. Like, you know, like, call me whatever you want to call me. I don't care. That's my only motivation. You know,
steak
my
dinner
only motivation
house.
Is for me.
The tuxedo. Texter, democracy is at stake, and you're talking about Andy Beshear. Texter, they
you
must.
You live in Kentucky and Indiana. Which way is your vote going?
Exactly. We all know. We all know
what's
going to happen.
Let's all get into a fight. We live in two super red states.
Yeah.
It does not matter.
Like, I think the last election, I think Indiana went for Trump first, and Kentucky's like right behind it.
Yeah, in Kentucky and Indiana,
we're going to call it.
We're going to call it.
The polls have been open for 5 minutes.
The polls don't close for another 5 minutes. No, we're calling it now.
Oh, there's another one. What a joke. We damn sure do need King Andy. What a dumbass thing to hope for. Texter, they must have not heard you dogging the governor during the outset of COVID. That wasn't blank. That wasn't Blanket Baker.
No, I killed Andy Beshear.
Oh, you did? Yes,
no,
you did.
We killed Andy Beshear. That's what's funny about everybody. Oh, you live, whatever. No, we crushed Andy Beshear.
The pools.
He closed the pools and opened the bars on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. God, how stupid of a time was that?
Well, it was a dumb time for everybody.
What a dumb time.
What was for everybody.
The rules changed. You could catch COVID. You couldn't catch it in a bar, but you could catch it at a pool.
Right. And so Diener goes into the Oak Suite, you know, there at Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
You know, we're invited. And then, and you know, we've had Andy on the show a number of times, you know, over the years. And we always kind of see him, but we're never really, like, social. You know, there's press secretary.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people, his time, you know, stuff like that. But he's, like, standing in the doorway, like, greeting people as they come into the suite. And Diener's like, you know I hated you, right? And he goes, oh, I know you did.
So he knew. Andy heard it. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Andy was well aware of Drew Diener and my outrage over the pool situation. But see, these are the things that we care about. Pools, daylight savings time.
Right.
You all want to get into all these other – like, that's all for you guys to lose your friends and family over.
Yeah.
Like, for somebody that, you know, don't really care. That's all for you guys. Do that if you want to. They don't care. Politicians don't care about you.
No. Hell no.
They care about you.
No. Texter sent a picture of a rather large a gentleman with a rather large stomach standing at an open refrigerator and just said, Rig, is this you? No, that's not me. I'm not that big. Texter, Strebel at 508. He's pumping both of those guys right now. Texter,
I know exactly when that happened.
Strip clubs made the girls wear. Never mind. I'm not reading that. Texter, Andy Beshear and Nikki DeBoot in 2028. That's the ticket. Texter, I thought you meant Andy Sweeney. LOL. if Andy Sweeney's the governor, we're all in trouble.
Oh, we are in massive trouble.
We're in
the wrong people will get pardoned. You know, the wrong people will go to jail. I don't know. I mean, Andy Sweeney's attorney general? That would be hilarious.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
He'd probably have the most fun with that.
Yeah, not governor, AG. Andy Sweeney,
I guess
AG.
Attorney general is elected in Kentucky, so he couldn't do that. That's why the Daniel Cameron and the Andy Beshear, Bat Bevin thing went down. You know.
Oh, God. What is Dexter? That's our dumb ass governor for you. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break. On the other end, we'll wrap up the show. Still, I want to talk about this the coaching hot seat stuff.
Yeah, let's do that
with Blank, and then a movie trailer drop today that there's no movies out right now that I care about. Like nothing. There's nothing I want to see. It all goes straight to streaming and it shows and stuff. Like I don't care. But there's finally a movie coming out that I'm going to go to the theater and watch. What is that? We'll talk about that more here on the Roundtable, ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Start us off with a quick statement and go right to questions. Got that ass whooped. Questions. Nothing really to say, man.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, so final segment here on the Roundtable, ESPN Louisville, Mark Blankenbaker hanging out with me. You're home for additional programming tomorrow night, Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. on ESPN, I'm sorry, 93.9 The Ville. Thursday, Soccer City, 6 p.m., ESPN 680, 105.7. Friday, the Kentucky Racing Spotlight, 6 p.m. here on these airwaves. Saturday, Preston Greenhouse Gardening Show, 8 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville, followed by Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Lightsey and James Black, 10 to 11 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And then Sunday is the Sunday Morning Hangover, 10 a.m. to noon. Nick Curran, Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell, ESPN 680, 105.7, and ESPN Louisville Plus tonight, 9 p.m. ESPN Louisville Plus After Dark. We'll be doing Games That Broke You, taking live calls from Kentucky fans, Louisville fans, anybody in between. So check that out. And everybody be careful out there. The weather's about to turn nasty. They're sending some videos. If you look at Mark Weinberg's Twitter account, places like Mount Vernon, let's see here, Grayson County, Morganville, Kentucky, a lot of rotation in the sky. So you know, be careful, right. Be safe tonight. So there we go.
Yeah, be safe out there, guys. It's you know, nothing to trifle with when you got tornadoes out there in the air or whatever. So it's terrible.
It's terrible. I'm sick of storms and tornadoes. I feel like if we had more tornado warnings and watches this summer than ever before in my life. Then again, I'm 42 years old. What I don't remember what it was like when I was 7. So there may have been a summer like this. I just don't remember it. Real quick before we head into the pressure checks ranking here. So the movie I was referring to, Mark.
Yeah.
Gladiator 2.
Okay.
It looks badass. It looks.
I love that.
Thought you were going to go with Despicable Me 4.
No, not Despicable Me 4. It's got Denzel.
Good movie, though.
Yeah. Oh, was it good?
Despicable. Oh, awesome.
Okay, there you go.
So I've said how Fast and Furious has had way too many movies.
Yes.
I want the makers of Despicable Me to do what they did with Fast and Furious.
Just keep going.
Just like they're funny. And
yeah,
they, everyone laughs at them. Like we're
it's a Valvano level derail.
Yes, yeah, I learned from the best.
Yeah, yes, you do. But that's got Denzel Washington in it. It has Pedro Pascal in it, and it looks fantastic. And I tell you what, the most badass thing about it, Mark, is Denzel Washington. He doesn't even like try to have an accent. He just like Brooklyn mob boss.
Really?
Oh, dude, it's awesome. Because he's like, I'm Denzel Washington. I got two Academy Awards. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to go here. I'm going to play this part like I'm playing like a Brooklyn mob boss. That's what I'm doing. It looks fantastic.
It's stupid when they do like Roman. You do these Roman things with British accents. That's not how they sound. They didn't sound like Brits.
No.
So what does it matter what accent you use? It's going to be incorrect. speak Latin.
I'm gonna do this live on air. Tanner, could you turn blank up? He's super low.
Super low.
There he is. Okay. Whoa.
There it is.
Now we got him. Now we got our guy, Blankenbaker. Ince told me that. And then Diener just texted as well. So we got it. Okay. So we're, right, I think cool. we're, I think we're good now. But yeah.
Well, what difference does it make if Denzel Washington speaks in a American accent,
right.
Brooklyn accent, or British accent? None of those are Roman accents.
Exactly. They're not Italian accents. You're 100% right. It's like in the original Gladiator. Maximus, that's Russell Crowe. He's a Spaniard. He's Spanish,
right?
And he's speaking in a British accent. I'm like, how does that make sense? You're dead on.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, Denzel's like, hell with that. He's like, I don't speak Italian. I'm not going to do an Italian accent. I'm just going to be a Brooklyn badass. How about that? That's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to come here and be what you paid me to be.
Paid me to be Denzel Washington. I'm going to be Denzel Washington. You hear? You're seeing Training Day. That's what I'm going to do. Right. I'm going to be Training Day. So how
historically accurate was the original Gladiator anyway? Like, to me, it was just entertaining.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm sure there are parts that were really kind of accurate, but then there were a lot of probably just taking liberties. I have no idea, but like, I just enjoyed it for the entertainment.
Exactly. It's a fun movie. It's action-packed. Now, a few of the characters, like, I don't think there was ever a General Maximus that fought his way from, you know,
killed the Emperor of Rome. You don't think they'd
happen. But Marcus Aurelius, he was the emperor at the beginning, the older man played by Richard Harris that passed away. He was a real guy. He was like the warrior poet, Roman emperor. He wrote Marcus Aurelius, I think it was The Reflections. It's something along those lines, but anyway, it's like you read him in like philosophy classes. So he was a real dude, and his son—I forgot who Joaquin Phoenix's character's name was. He was a real guy too, but like you're right. Most of it is liberties that they take with these movies. So
sure, but we're having fun. We're enjoying it. It doesn't have to be like I'm very upset with the original producers of Gladiator. They got this wrong and that wrong. I don't care. I was entertained. I eat popcorn.
Exactly. I just want to go to – if I'm paying money for a movie, you know, unless it's like about a specific historical event, like for instance, like Pearl Harbor, right? So the movie Pearl Harbor has inaccuracies all over it. It's a terrible movie. And it's awful.
It was like incredibly long, too.
It's like 3 hours long, and it's just a bad movie. The lady Kate Beckinsale played the movie is an awful person. I didn't feel sorry for her at all. She was like seeing both those guys, Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett.
Well, she thought it was dead. You're mad at her?
There was like an attraction before the death. We'll just say that.
She and Ben Affleck
were doing some heavy flirting before that even happened. As soon as she like found out he was dead, she's like called him like, "Hey, what's going on?" Like, you know, isn't there like a grieving? You know, you take a couple of weeks at least, maybe a month, and be sad, and then you move on to the next stud. I mean, come on now. Was it something like that?
And you know, sounds like you have like a personal gripe.
No, I don't. It's
something happened that we need to know about that, you know, that we're uncovering here live on the air that you need to talk.
No, I'm fine. I just remember sitting in the theater and everyone's like feeling sorry for us. Like, she moved on quick. Like, this poor guy died in battle, and she's like, okay, next man up. Next man up.
I mean, you've seen Wedding Crashers. You know what happens at funerals.
That's right. You're exactly right.
It's the original.
You swoop in.
The original funeral crash.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Pearl Harbor.
100%. You know who the worst person is with spoiling movies with accurate information?
Who's that?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, God. Like any, get out of here.
Any science fiction movie that comes out, he just craps all over this. And now you really can't do this, and you really can't do that. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what if you're in a different universe? Like, Star Wars is a different universe. Do you think they have different laws of physics, maybe in different universes or different dimensions? Like, quit being, I'm so smart, I'm an astrophysicist, and let me watch my movie and have fun, okay?
That's right.
Just shut up.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if we all listen to you, knew we would have all been hit by an asteroid in 1998, but instead Bruce Willis went up there
Damn
and
right
saved all of our lives.
Yes,
you
he
understand?
Did.
He went up there with Ben Affleck again.
Yeah.
You know, who's transporting through time. What do you have to say about that, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut it. Button it up, Neil deGrasse Tyson. You and your PhDs. Get out of here. All right. Let's go back to sports here real quick before we stop the show. All right. So I'll just do this on three article, and then it's 2024 pressure check rankings. Mario Cristobal and Dabo Sweeney headline ACC head coaches under the most pressure. Okay. This is by Jesse Simonton here. Okay. So go through it. And the Bill O'Brien's low, obviously. It's his first year at Boston College. So, you know, who cares? No one cares about Cal.
Well, they don't have any money to buy out anybody anyway. So
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they're totally broke.
It doesn't matter. Dabo Sweeney, it's high for Dabo Sweeney. Says Dabo Sweeney's continued refusal to use the transfer portal has only heightened the pressure to prove his antiquated roster management strategy can still develop championship results in 2024. The Tigers haven't made the college football playoff in four seasons and are coming off a season where they were 500 in ACC play. Still, they have an overall strong roster, so anything short of a league title would be seen as a disappointment in a watered-down ACC. And then you scroll down, Mike Norvell, medium, which, okay, we'll see about that. Brent Key at Georgia Tech, medium. And then we get down to Jeff Brohm, Louisville. And this stunned me, Mark. This stunned me. It had him as medium. Okay,
no.
And so here's what they said. Brohm didn't waste the cake schedule in 2023, reaching the ACC championship in his first season back at his alma mater. He patched the roster with a bunch of portal pieces last season, and he doubled down on that approach this fall, bringing in a strong crop, including quarterback Tyler Shuck and receivers Colin Lacey and Ja'Cory Brooks. Okay, and then it continues. The schedule is much more difficult, so another 10-win season might not be in the cards. But Brohm has upgraded the roster where the program should be competitive in most games this season. So they don't really even go into why it's medium. Like, why? I mean, it should be low.
It's extremely low. It's extremely low. Like that. That's somebody writing that does not understand the climate in which he's writing about.
I agree.
You know, I would say, in fact, that Mark Stoops, after flirting with Texas A&M, has probably more pressure than even Jeff Brohm. And he's totally solid.
And that's crazy. Okay, so that brings us to the next ranking. Okay, so there's another one that CBS Sports did. They didn't focus on just the ACC. The SEC, they did every single head coach in college football. So 134 FBS coaches. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they did the rankings. Here's how they did it. Right. Okay. So a number five would be win or be fired. Four, start improving now. Three, pressure is mounting. Two, all good. ... for now. One, safe and secure. Zero, untouchable. Okay. So
okay.
They ranked every. Guess what Stoops's was?
Three.
One.
Really?
Yes.
Safe and secure after flirting with A&M?
And for, you know, having two subpar seasons. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you go 10 seasons twice or 10 win seasons twice at Kentucky and you keep telling us how the, you know, how it's going to be better and how, you know, we're not taking a back seat to anybody, they have a one, and then last year he was at a two, so they actually improved him. And then for Jeff Brohm, they have him at a zero, which is what it should be. I mean,
right.
Jeff Brohm should be at a zero, but Mark Stoops at a one, there's more questions around Mark Stoops this season than since the season where he almost got fired, but he made it to a bowl game. That was the season they beat Louisville, and like he was going to be fired that year, but he salvaged it, made it to a bowl game for his first one in Kentucky, and you know he's done well here in between. But these last two seasons have just not been acceptable, and you know for a while there, Mark, he was untouchable with the Kentucky fan base. But this is really the first season where there's some actual if you don't win eight games this season, or you lose to South Carolina and some other teams like that again, like there's gonna be some questions popping up. So if I were doing this ranking, I'm with you. I would have put him at like a two or a three. But I saw the
something
one, and I'm like, seriously, a one.
But Billy Napier, to me, is the hottest seat in college football.
They had him. That's a great point. Where did they rank him? So let me go down to four.
I'm looking at it. They have him as a four, and Pittman is the only five. And I'm like, okay.
Napier should be a five.
Napier should be a five. The problem for Pittman at Arkansas is that Bobby Petrino's he's hiring all the family.
Oh, he's waiting in the wings.
He's sitting there. You know, Bobby Petrino's like, I'm getting this job back, bro.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you know, 1,000%. You're going to do something. You're going to screw up. There's going to be a riff, and you're going to get fired, and I'm going to get the head coaching job because they all want me here anyway.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That was. I mean, seriously, Petrino. I mean, Arkansas has had, you know, in their history, they've had some very good, nice seasons, and one would argue that their highest profile was when Bobby Petrino was there. I mean, they went to a Sugar Bowl and won it. He had Ryan Mallett. I mean, he had some. I mean, they were the
it was
year
Cotton Bowl, wasn't it? Wasn't it Cotton Bowl?
Cotton Bowl. That's you're right. It's yeah. Cotton Bowl. Sorry, Sugar Bowl was Louisville, but yeah, Cotton. But it was totally strong, not Petrino. But he had, you know, he had the Cotton Bowl win. I mean, before he wrecked his motorcycle, they were like picked to win the SEC West that season.
Oh yeah,
big time expectations. But no, you're exactly right. If Pittman gets fired in the middle of the season, he's going to be the interim coach. There's
he's
no
be the interim
doubt
coach,
in my
and they're going to go out there and they're going to win a game that they shouldn't, and then the AD is going to be like, "Well, we're going to hire Bobby," and then you know, we'll see what happens. But Napier has the toughest schedule that I've ever seen for a coach on the hot seat.
Dude, it's brutal. He's done. I mean, I think Kentucky plays Florida like the fourth or fifth game of the season. If he's still the coach there, I'll be shocked.
Well. Well, I don't know if it'll happen that quick, but that might be your do or die game.
It might be. No, you're right.
Yeah, and Kentucky's schedule, like, you know, Southern Miss, you know, typically they are. You never know.
They're decent.
Southern Miss.
Yeah,
like sometimes they are awful.
Yeah,
like sometimes they are rank, and sometimes they're pretty solid. I don't know this year's Southern Miss, but did you see who Diener hung out with at Kenny Chesney at Kenny,
I did. I showed Max Godby the picture yesterday during the show. He was with Shane Beamer, and he had a visceral reaction.
Yeah. So Dabo Swinney in Tampa and Shane Beamer in Kansas City.
Oh, I saw the Dabo picture too. Yeah, he's. I'm telling you, you go to these country concerts, you're going to see a college football coach.
Well, and you're going to see one if you're in the areas that Diener's in.
Well, he's in the VIP.
He's in the what they call the sandbar, and he was backstage for this particular one because I guess Jared Stillman knows the
guitar player, right? Yeah,
yeah, for Kenny Chesney, and so they're like hanging out, and I don't know, Kenny Chesney must be like super elusive because. I'm surprised Diener didn't go in like some of the roadie equipment, you know, to kind of, you know, see if he could find a way to like get in with like Kenny Chesney or something.
Right.
Like, that.
Like hide somewhere, yeah. And, like pop out when he walks by. Hey, Kenny, what's going on?
Hey, Kenny.
I've seen one of Kenny Chesney's homes.
Really?
Yeah. So my wife and I went on a cruise for my 40th birthday 2 years ago. And we were in the British Virgin Islands, and we went scuba diving.
Nice.
Not scuba diving. I'm sorry, snorkeling. Went snorkeling, and so we're on this cabana, and they're pulling us up to the, you know, the beach area where they're gonna like kind of drop us off and let us snorkel to the beach and hang out and, you know, see all the sea turtles and sea urchins and
you're
stuff.
The BVI, baby.
Exactly. And so I look up, and there's like this. There's like big rock formation in the middle of the water, and it's like kind of it's close to the land, but it's kind of off the land. And there's this badass mansion with a helipad on the top of the mansion. And we're like, wow, because our captain was, you know, he's giving us rum and cokes and stuff like that. And we're like, wow, whose house is that? Like, who lives there? And he's like, oh, that's Kenny Chesney's place.
Yeah, that's Chesney's spot.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, like, at the Soggy Dollar Bar there in the Virgin Islands, like, it's like you got to get there by boat. Like, apparently he's there all the time. You know, like,
what a life.
You know, but, you know, and so, like, people see him there a lot, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, but I've never gone to the Soggy Dollar Bar.
No.
I have no earthly idea. But yeah, I wonder what he thinks about Kentucky's football schedule here.
Who, Kenny Chesney? He's a Vols fan. I don't care what he thinks.
He's a Vols fan. Him Wallen. Him and Morgan Wallen.
Ugh. If I had to see one of those guys, I would go see Kenny Chesney. I would never pay a dime to see Morgan Wallen. Not a nickel. Not a penny.
I like Morgan Wallen.
I hate him. I can't stand him.
Why don't you like him? Is it personal or is it like?
It's not
like,
personal. It's just like
I don't like his music.
I just don't like his vibe. Like, you look at him And
is it because of what he did to Will Levis?
No, I don't care about that. No, I don't. Will Levis is a big boy. He can handle his own issues. I'm staying out of that one. The relationship advice, I'm not giving that. But it's like you look at Morgan Wallen and you it's like if that dude couldn't sing, because he doesn't write his own songs. Like I think other people write his songs, but like, if that dude couldn't sing, he working at a gas station. Like he's not attractive. Like he's like, oh, he's a heartthrob. It's like that dude looks like a dork. I'm sorry, he does. And
I don't know what he looks like. I have no
idea. You've never seen Morgan Wallen?
I don't know what he looks like. No, I mean, I've heard his music on the radio and different things, and and in the summertime I listen to country music by the pool.
Did you know he's Matt Jones's cousin? Did that change anything for you?
No.
Okay. I was just throwing that out there. I mean, Matt likes to brag about it, of course.
Oh, of course. Sure.
Let's read a couple texts before we get out of here. Texter, is the movie you want to see Showgirls 2? No.
Is the Saved by the Bell girl in that one?
Elizabeth Berkley.
There it is. I could not come up with it.
When I was a kid, and because we all watched Saved by the Bell. We all watched it, and we were in love with all the girls. All three of those girls on the show were beautiful, and we're all in love with them. And then when I remember seeing the trailer to Showgirls, I'm like, hold on a second. I'm like, wait. And I forgot her name in the show. But I was like, that's not the same. And by God, it was.
That was her. That's her trying to break out of being typecast.
Exactly. Sometimes you can go too far on that.
maybe she went a little too far.
Yeah, sometimes you go too far on that and ruin your career. That's what happened to her. She went too far too fast. Texter, Striebel hates Morgan Wallen because of Mitch. Well, yeah, Mitch Hannigan's part of it, too.
Mitch liked Morgan Wallen.
He liked him before he became like a huge star.
Got it. So he feels like he's like a part of the club.
He's an OG.
He knew him first.
Yeah. OG, yeah. Oh, and Diener just sent us 10 songs you didn't know Morgan Wallen. Well, okay, so maybe he does write his own music. Maybe he does. I misspoke. The hate coming out, Diener. I apologize. So maybe he wrote some bangers. I don't know.
I can't defend him writing or not writing because I literally don't know.
He wrote 1,000 Preaching the Choir, Party Song, Working on It, and these are all for different artists. Oh, he wrote a song for Florida Georgia Line. Oh, Like You Never Had It. I haven't heard any of these. He wrote a Kane Brown song.
Like, I'm terrible at song names. Like, really, but the one where he's singing to his mom.
Yeah.
About, I like that one a lot.
Okay.
You know, that was a good one. I like that one a lot. I don't know the name of it, but that one's a good.
He even wrote some for hip hop.
Thought you should know.
I've heard that song
that's
before.
That's a good song.
I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Turn it on. Listen, you could probably relate to it even.
I might. He wrote a song for Jason Aldean. He wrote a song for Diplo, Keith Urban. Okay, so I stand corrected. Diener corrected me. I apologize, Drew. Texter, if Topanga would have been in Showgirls 2, I would have lost my mind.
Oh, it's Kelly Kapowski for me, though.
Oh, Kelly Kapowski. Oh, 100%.
And Phil Baker shares. This, he once took a cookbook,
Amber Thiessen.
He took a cookbook to Bourbon and Beyond to get her to sign it. Phil Baker did.
Yeah, good
did
for him.
Did you know that?
Yeah, he told me that. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but yeah, good for him.
I love Phil Baker.
We can go further in discussion, but we got to get out of here. It's 5:58.
Stay safe, everybody.
Yeah, stay safe out there. The clouds are gathering. The wind's picking up. Everyone stay safe. Thank you, Mark, for connecting with me today. Thank you, Tanner, for producing. And thank you to all the texters. It was a fun show. We'll be back at it tomorrow here on the Roundtable, ESPN 680, 105.7.